This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Be speaking shortly with us on a very elaborate topic, but a topic which I can just give you a brief talk on for this morning. Understanding spiritual cycles. Understanding spiritual cycles. So many of us will remember the story of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. I will remember that Nebuchadnezzar was told that he would be mad for 7 years. Now, imagine for the sake of argument that everybody around Nebuchadnezzar decided that a king shouldn't be mad. They were going to spend every resource they could muster to find a cure. You know that they are going to basically waste every cent they spend on him simply because there was a cycle tied to his sickness. There was a prophetic chronemic season that was said that, oh, this is how long this will take. And so sometimes all a believer has to do is understand the spiritual cycle of a particular issue. I'll give another example. The children of Israel are told they are going to spend 4 generations in Egypt. You find this in the book of Genesis chapter 15. Egypt was not mentioned, but it was said that they are going to spend 4 generations as slaves in one of the neighboring cities, and it was clearly defined. And you will notice that for the duration of about 400 years, God, despite their groanings, God didn't act. God respected the timing that was placed on that journey. Not all spiritual cycles are valid. For example, a human being can say, oh, you have to spend 4 years in the university. And then they set up a structure so that all the students that come to a university can spend 4 years to get a degree. But a child could be exceptional and could earn what others earn in 4 years in 10 days or in 1 year or in whatever duration. And they would then have to bend the structure of the spiritual authority, which means all the lecturers would agree. None of the deans will protest. Everybody will just decide to spend extra time to support the child that wanted to become a guardian by the age of 12 or by the age of 13. We have seen many of them in history who studied and went through the university system quite young because they were precocious. However, you have to understand that breaking such cycles effectively has to do with the extraordinary ability to spot intelligence, to spot wisdom, to spot genius. And everybody agreeing that we want this genius to be rewarded for what it is. We want to ensure that our school takes credit for producing such an exceptional student Which then means the usual laxity that a lecturer or other lecturers may want to use to process the academics of a student. They will suspend it, and everybody will put this particular student on the front burner in order for the children, for that child to really become successful. So you see that a lot of favor, a lot of work, a lot of a feeling of being part of the achievement of such a student would have gone into bending the rules so that that cycle could be broken. So when the cycles were man-made, they can be broken. When they are man-made, it's easy to break them. For example, Jacob decided that he was going to curse his first three children, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. And he decided to give the leadership of the entire 12 tribes to Judah, which was the fourth child. But this was not God's plan. God didn't want to curse them. They acted in a way that they shouldn't have acted. And their father personally felt they deserved to be punished. Now, as a parent, it is good to have obedient children. And when it is also important to correct them. But to punish them in perpetuity, which means to place them under a curse for all time, is not within or allowed. It's not allowed by God. And the reason for that is because every destiny is important to God, and God ultimately is the one who rules over the affairs of men. So imagine that God wants to use a vessel, and then they say the vessel cannot be used because his father or his mother had placed the curse on him, which then limits God from taking advantage of that vessel. You understand that it will then seem as if human feelings or anger or anything of that light has a power to withhold the hand of God from achieving that which God has set in his own heart to do. And so you see the case with Moses, who was from the tribe of Levi, who God chose after when he was born to be the liberator of Israel. Levi had already been cursed by Jacob. And as a result of that, the house of Levi, the house of Simeon, the house of Reuben, they had lost their leadership status and authority among the 12 tribes. But when God was going to select the liberator of the whole tribe, he chose from the tribe of Levi. He ignored the curse of Jacob because divine orchestration supersedes in every way familial or human issues. And so this is important. So when David said, "I rather fall into the hand of God, because God is so merciful, and not into the hand of man," he understood the intricacies of human behavior and the limitation that human sight or human understanding or human thinking has in itself. And so it is important that we all pay attention to the word of God in the season that we find ourselves in. Sometimes the family would experience over many weeks or many generations certain realities. Sometimes it could be marital delay. It could be delay in having children, all sorts of delays that had come together to form a particular kind of pattern. We saw the delay in the life of Abraham. And then we saw it in the life of Isaac. And then Jacob would have also experienced that delay. And you pay attention to it scripturally, you will be shocked. It seems that the women they love, that is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the women they love were the ones that couldn't give them children. For Abraham, she loved Sarah so much, and yet Sarah couldn't give him a child. But when he went into Hagar, Hagar delivered. Isaac also experienced some seasons of delay before he and Rebecca had Esau and Jacob. With Jacob, however, you will notice that when he was given Leah, the woman he didn't love, she became a mother almost instantly. But Rachel, whom he loved, was the one who couldn't bear a child. See the pattern there? That pattern, when you look at it scientifically, makes no sense. There was nothing wrong with Sarah. There was nothing wrong with Rebecca, and there was nothing wrong with Rachel. They didn't have to use any divine, any medical intervention or herbs or anything in order to wake up any part of their bodies. You will look at them, you wonder, okay, so what is the problem? Why couldn't they give these men children? And then you will notice that every time Sarah, for example, was taken away from Abraham, at least twice, that God had to stop the people that took her from having sexual interaction with her. Pharaoh and Abimelech. Because if they did, she would be pregnant. So what has love got to do with having children? Why would someone love another person and immediately to seem that love places a limitation on the other person and that same person at the same time? Let me say it this way so you understand it. A man has not been doing well financially. He had prayed, he had fasted, he had done everything. Nothing was working. And then he met a woman and they began to talk love. And the woman is doing well financially. She's working. She has a business. She has money in the bank. Things were fine. Then they begin to talk love, begin to talk marriage. And then they say, oh, okay, let's get married. Then as soon as they got married, everything regarding the woman's prosperity just comes to a standstill. And they could basically trace it to the fact that it was from the moment I married this person that things stopped working for me. And this could be vice versa. And I've seen the cases several times. Several times. It makes no sense because why would something happening in your life be so powerful that it will stop the progress of your partner? If anything, your partner should have the ability to break you out of poverty or stagnancy, and the two of you are supposed to chase 10,000. Not the two of when one has been chasing 1,000 before, you marry and then you can barely chase one. And you are wondering, how come the marriage reduced my capacity instead of increasing it? How come it seems after the marriage, I became the opposite of what the Word of God says. Whenever you notice this kind of pattern, it is not divine. God has stated his divine plan clearly in the scriptures regarding all his children. It is not divine. And therefore, it can be broken. However, I'll show you one that is divine. A man is doing so well in his business, and then he gets a call to become a missionary or a pastor or a prophet or anything like that. And he says, no, I have children to feed. I have a plan for my life. I do not want to obey God. Now, I've also seen this happen where it would then say that from the moment the person begins to resist God, all the things that were working for the person before would then stop working. It would just be like a pause or a seizure. This would just cease. And everywhere he goes, they will tell him, hey, go and settle your case with God. You are in error. Go and settle your case with God. You are in error. Now, that's divine. And that naturally wouldn't affect the man's wife or the man's brothers or sisters or family members, as long as they do not decide to put all their resources into helping this person. Such a person, you must leave the person until the person sorts out the issues he or she has with God. If you decide that, okay, don't worry. Your job is all doing well. Okay. As a family, we'll do a meeting. We'll raise 100 billion. We'll send you to the moon to go and land there and start a business. We will invest in you. Everyone who does that will end up with the fate of what happened to Jonah's companion in the ship. You see, those ones were not even Jonah's relatives. They were just merchants doing their own business, going about their daily lives. The mistake they made was boarding the same ship with Jonah. They didn't know it. But on a serious note, and on a good day, if you're a Christian, born again and full of the Holy Spirit, when you meet somebody like Jonah and you're about to board the same flight or the same bus or the same ship, you will feel a strong restraint from God not to board that ship. I mean it. Most of us ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and we do this at our own disadvantage, because we hurt ourselves when we disobey the promptings of the Lord. You see somebody you feel strongly like helping, strongly like helping. But as you want to embark on the help, you feel a restraint in your spirit. A restraint that says, don't waste your resources. The problem this person has, if you put your resources into it, your resources will just burn to the ground. This person has a problem that resources cannot solve. Remember how I started the Battle of Nebuchadnezzar? But I meet people in this life who you just like, you just want to help them. Or you who you are just maybe your roommates with in the university or even in church. But you will notice that there is this atmosphere around this person. People, no matter how much people try to help them, you will notice that the help doesn't show. And because Christianity truly and rightfully taught us to be empathetic, to be caring, to be generous, to help those who are weak, to build up those who have nothing, to help the downtrodden, to lift up the head of those who are cast down, with a natural compassion for such people. And many of us, we do not make any spiritual inquiry. We just jump into it. And then, as soon as we jump into it, we begin to experience what I call spiritual body blues. Out of nowhere, your life, which has been very peaceful, which you have been enjoying with peace and tranquility, suddenly begin to experience a storm like never before. Like the companions of Judah. The Bible said, while the ship raged, they started with prayer. Ah, God, please. Lord, please. They were all calling their different gods. Calm the sea. Poseidon. Calm the sea. We are sorry. Let us give you Fanta. Let us give you Coke. And when they saw that the storm would not be calm, the Bible said they began to throw their properties into the sea, deliberately sabotaging their own businesses, throwing away their investments. They didn't give these things to Jonah. They gave these things to save their own lives. And yet, the only error they made that day was boarding the same ship with Jonah. And that still happens. And some of us are spiritually sensitive. You notice that, they withdraw tactically immediately, like, no. This is, since I met this person, this thing has been happening. As soon as they withdraw, they notice that the body blows will stop. It will just stop. Their life will go back to the normal, blissful life they had as soon as they withdraw. And some, they will plunge heading until they allow somebody that is drowning to drown them. They will just plunge head on. They will plunge of the damage. I'll give you an example. As a man I know, who had done some very grievous things when he was much younger. And as a result of that, his life turned out not to be such a good life. Then he met an old secondary school friend when he was in his 60s. And he told the secondary school friend all that he had gone through in life. That friend decided that, how can somebody suffer like this? How is it godly that somebody will suffer for all these years like this? And you know, the person wouldn't tell you why. People usually would talk about the what they are going through. If they know the why they are going through it, they usually will keep quiet because nobody wants to be judged. So this friend decided, I'm going to help you. I will build you a house. He got all this money. He called this contractor. He got land. You will have a roof over your head if I am As long as I'm your friend, I'm determined to do this for you. They wanted to build a small three-bedroom apartment just so that this man can have a roof over his head. Because at late into his 60s, he was practically hanging around other people, living off other people. And of course, that came with a lot of insult. And it wasn't easy to bear. So this friend said, "Oh, I'll be in your house. Let's get land." Yeah. So they got this land. But when they got the land, the friend started having serious issues. His first boy was in the university. The first boy suddenly got so sick. And this friend had to spend a lot of money on a sickness that they couldn't diagnose. So he had to take his eyes away from the building project and he had to spend the money on the sick child. And as he was spending the money on the sick child, other things were cropping up. So he came to me and this man said, "I don't understand. My son is sick. They couldn't find what is wrong. And I've sunk in millions. Please, this boy needs help." Then I said, "Okay, where are you?" He said, "Oh, somewhere in Ibadan." I said, "Okay. This man works with Nigerian Electricity Company, a top brass there." And so he said, "Oh, I'm sending the driver to come pick you, please. I want to just look at my son." And the Lord didn't say anything to me. And I just wanted to go and fulfill my gospel duties. The Lord did not say, "Don't go." The Lord did not say, "Go." I was free. I said, "Okay, I'll go." So I went to the hospital. When I got to the hospital, I saw the man's son. And he was so emaciated. And I said, "Ha, this boy is not sick." He said, I said, "Stop giving him any medicines. Don't give him any drip. This boy is not sick. This boy is very healthy." He was trapped in an alternate reality. He had been put there by something. And his soul was seeking to come out of it. But it was difficult because the powers that bound him were strong. So I said, "No, this is not sickness." So I turned to the man and I said, "Have you been doing anything diabolical? Are you in a cult?" He said, "No." I said, "Okay. Do you have any stranger in your life? Somebody around you, your wife, your mother, your father? Which of you have been doing anything intensely diabolical and demonic?" The man said, "I don't know anybody." I said, "Okay. Any new friend?" He said, "Oh, there's this friend. He told me the story." I said, "Okay. Can they bring me the man?" So they went to bring the friend. And I saw the friend, I started laughing. I said, you cannot have anything to do with this man. It's like somebody trying to help Cain when God had said that Cain will be a vagabond. And somebody trying to deliver Cain from God's word. You know how futile that would be. When God has said the children of Israel will spend 400 years, and then somebody woke up and the person said, "I will rescue them." The person would die there. Nobody would ever be able to do that. Or somebody coming to say, "Oh, I will heal Nebuchadnezzar." Eh? How? What will you use? Who will fight against the Lord and survive it? So I said, "No." I said, this man, he has to go sort himself out with God. And nobody should help him. If you are spiritually discerning, you will have seen the mark. You will have noticed. And you will just know that, oh, there are people in this world that my duty is just to pray for them. Because they are under a particular cycle. And that cycle cannot be broken by pumping resources or giving them money. Or no, it can be broken When you pray, you solicit, you supplicate to God on their behalf, because they are spiritual cycles. They will ruin whosoever tries to use their material means to resolve them. So this is why all believers are given the power of prayer. That's why we pray. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we do not do things according to the flesh. And that's why we notice that we are not ignorant, that's what the scriptures call it, of the devices of the enemy, so that we do not apply the wrong solution that could ruin us to a particular kind of issue in this life. So the reason I'm bringing this to you this morning is that you can think about it. One of these days I've been doing an elaborate teaching, but as I began to reflect, the Lord said, this is a topic to speak on. So pay attention to all that's around you. And if there's anything out of place, try your best to adjust. I won't say more than that. Try your best to do what? To adjust. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Thank you, everybody. We've had a wonderful year, and the year will continue to be good as we enter into the new year. If you are blessed by this teaching, please submit and shout, glory.
Glory.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.